right. At this time, we're going to go ahead and have our scripture reading. So Isaiah, he's going to lead us in that. So go ahead and stand to your feet and turn to Mark chapter 10. We'll start at verse 35.
Good morning. Today, we'll be reading from Mark chapter 10, verse 35 through 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other one on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those who for whom is prepared." And when the ten heard it, they began to greatly displease with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles. Lord, it's over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be great shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many."
Just again, thank you, church. I really do. Y'all don't understand. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And again, I'm serious. Pray for us. As we pray for you, pray for us. We still deal with the same enemy. We still deal with the same adversities. And we need each other. And so I appreciate you and thank you from the bottom of my heart. And that includes my family as well. And again, I'm so proud of these teenagers. I'm very proud of them. They have so much talent. Giftings that only the Lord could give, and my hope and prayer is that that the Lord would develop them not only to be the best student that he would desire for them to be, but to be the servant that he would want them to be. And that's the reason why we've put in Mission Sunday, so that they can understand, hey, we have missionaries, and that's what even blew me away with Pastor McNeil, is the fact that he showed us, hey, we have missionaries in various parts of the world, even here domestically, And they're being used of the Lord, and we want to take the time to support them and pray for them, and I want them to be able to understand, because one day that could be them. One day it could be you. Time hasn't stopped. The mission is still available, and there's workers needed, and he could be calling you. Which leads me to this question, the topic of our sermon today. Are you missions-minded? Are you missions-minded? In our world today, there are so many agendas, from politics to government. It is alive and well. Even in the times of Jesus, they too had agendas. But in our sermon today, we'll focus on letting go of our agenda and replacing them with God's agenda. Let's pray together. Father, how grateful we are this morning for our youth, for our kids and our teenagers. Thank you for the songs that we were given today, Lord, that we got to have you. There's no other one that we need. We must have you. And Lord, what is a blessing to know that when we pray, when we call on your name, we know that you're not too busy. You want to hear from us. Help us to continue to talk to you, but Lord, also help us to listen and obey. Lord, as John the Baptist declares, I do the same. I decrease, Lord, you increase. I become less and less, Lord, you become more and more, because what is given to your people is your word, not mine. If it's mine, I can go ahead, take a seat. Matter of fact, I can go outside this building, go home, and party like it's 2099. But Lord, this is your word. Your word is perfect. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, your word will not return void. Lord, speak to your people. That's who they need to hear from, not me. They need to hear from you. Even as we look at this familiar passage, O Lord, we know that there's something new, something fresh that you would desire to give your people. We're asking you to have your way. Holy Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth. Have your way in this place. We pray that your will would be done. And also, Lord, we pray for traveling mercies for all those that went down for Joshua's wedding. Lord, we thank you so much for him and so much for his parents and his rest of his family. Lord, just bless their time together in fellowship and bless his marriage. Lord, may he and his wife put you first place, put you center. And if they do that, your word declares that all other things will be added to them. And so we ask that you would just have your way in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. So grateful again to the Lord to be able to spend some time in the word. I shared this sermon a few years ago and just led to share it again with a few updates to it. But again, in our world, we're dealing with agendas, and many of you have noticed those agendas out there in politics. Go ahead, hit the next slide. In politics, we see the agendas live and well. You hear liberal and conservative. You hear the left and you hear the right, and you hear the Democrat and you hear of the Republican, and all of those ends lead to a means. And usually the end result is power. And usually that power, even though it is said that they will cross every I and dot every T, even though they'll give you a turkey and a pot, which many of you see where I'm going with this. Everything that I just said is impossible, but they will say the impossible so they can get your vote. One side wants to reach out, and they'll try to use my culture and my skin color to say, hey, this is what I'm going to do for you as a black man. Then there's one coach, when there's the other side that says, hey, I see you, Christian, and I'm gonna pass these policies that will help every Christian in the country. So they reach out to my faith. And in the midst of all of those reachings, there's still one thing that's in the midst. Evil. Sin. But again, they have the agenda. What? They want to get your vote. Even though both ends, we see that there's evil, but the intent is they want to get your vote. They have agendas. They have agendas. In the entertainment world, go to the next slide. In the entertainment world, in the NFL, you know, Jalen Hurts, the guy you see with the white head scarf there on, Jalen just got paid. Do you hear me, y'all? Got paid. And he should. He was in the Super Bowl. His team was real close of winning. And so the franchise gave him a nice, hefty contract. And then there's number eight there, Lamar Jackson. Man has been, I don't know if many of you have saw him in the University of Louisville, was a dynamic quarterback, got into the pros, and I mean, awesome things. But then he would get hurt from time to time. But yet, during the season, even though he only played a few games, he said, hey, I deserve to get paid too. And finally, and some of y'all are familiar because a lot of us said, hey, we'll take a Lamar Jackson. And I don't know about y'all, but I ain't want no Lamar Jackson. But many of y'all said, yeah, we'll take a Lamar Jackson. Why? Because he had the star power, the stats, but he was always getting injured. But Baltimore said, hey, we'll keep him. And they paid him because their agendas. Hey, I'm going to pull these stats up so that I can get paid. Now, what should be the thought of most of any team player should be, hey, I'm going to be here so I can help benefit the team so that we can get a championship. That should be. But a lot of guys, it's true, a lot of guys, they'll get the stats, they'll build their stats up, and they'll go to the sorriest team out there, but they'll go because they'll get the check. They'll get mad paid. They have agendas, and I don't blame them. And their agents will be happy too because they're going to get a cut as well. They have agendas too. But let's go back into the biblical time and Jesus' time. Next slide. You had the Roman Empire. They had agendas. Their agenda was they wanted to take over all of the living world. And you see a map there of all of that they had an opportunity to take over. I mean, you heard the saying, all roads lead to Rome. They proved it. Even in the time of Jesus, Rome was in power. And Rome didn't care who you was. Didn't care what your name was. Didn't care how much money you had. If you weren't for Rome, you were going to get taken out. And that's why a lot of the Jews couldn't stand Rome. Because Rome could say, you know what? I'm just tired of looking at the Jews. Give me about 5 to 10 guys. Let's go crucify them. And they would do it. But no reason. Even Jesus shared this to the people at the time. If a Roman soldier tells you, hey, grab my stuff, carry it for a mile. Roman soldiers did that. But Jesus said this. Okay, if they tell you to carry it for a mile, tell you what, you take it an extra distance. Take it another mile. But that's what Rome had the agenda. They wanted to take over everything. But the Jewish people, they couldn't stand it. And they would not have it. And that's why you heard of the rebellion during that time. Even Barabbas was in that cut. And that's what you noticed about Jesus and Barabbas at the time. Barabbas was a part of that rebellion. And Pilate knew that if I lift Barabbas' voice up, then maybe they'll let the innocent Jesus go. Because Barabbas is the one that's the rebel. Jesus is the one that's innocent. But again, Rome had an agenda as well. Next slide. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they also had an agenda. They made sure that you understand that they knew the law inside and out. Like I was sharing with the kids, anytime when you hear the law and the prophets, just understand they're talking about the first 5 books of the Bible, and then you look at the prophetic books. The historical books are mentioned in there, but you can go ahead and add that. But anytime we hear the law and the prophets, that's normally what they're talking about. The first 5 books of the Bible and then the prophetic books. And most of the times you'll hear some of the prophets quoted. You may not see it in the italics there in the text, but you can, if you look at most of those little notations they'll have at the end of the verse, it'll point you back to something written in the prophets or in the law. And these guys knew it inside and out. But then when here came Jesus, and Jesus was doing things that were totally not what they did. And how that he was not on their side when it came to certain things dealing with the temple and the synagogue, they couldn't have it. They couldn't stand it. And then he makes the claim that he is the Son of God. And they sure enough wasn't going to have that. They had agendas. But in this story today, even the disciples, they had an agenda. A couple of them. And let's look at the text together. Mark 10, let's look at the text together. Again, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Number one, because again, our pastor, he likes to re-quote scriptures from there from time to time. And also, I deal with the kids, and I love the reading in this, and so follow along with me if you can. Verse 35 says, and then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to Jesus, to him. And they said, teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. What is your request? He asked. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. If you got a pen and paper with you, I want to give you a couple points, and I'm going to sit down. And I've learned from the best. Pastor Ray says you do it in three, so that's what I'm going to try my best to do, and do it in three. So here we go. Point number one, your agenda plus God's approval is not missions minded. Your agenda plus God's approval is not missions minded. Remember, you just saw it in the text. James and John, all sweet and all meek and coming to Jesus. Jesus, can you do us a favor? When you sit on your glory, not at breakfast, not at the next lunchtime, not even at dinner time. When you get to your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you. One on your right hand and one on your left hand. And then what they wanted Jesus' approval. But before you throw a shoe at James and John, isn't that so true today? Many of us have our agenda. And I'm not sitting here telling you that you should not plan. That you should not look towards the future. Like kids, you've always been asked, hey, what you want to do when you grow up? What college are you looking to go to? Are you thinking about going into the military? You know, those are the things that you, those are the things, it's okay to plan. But when you put your agenda on it and just say, you know what, I'm going to go to Morehouse, fellas. I'm going to go to Morehouse. And God, I just need you to put your approval on Morehouse. And the only reason why you're going to Morehouse is because, well, my friend's going to Morehouse. Not because God told me to go to Morehouse. And you have many people today. Many people, come with me, church. Come with me, follow along with me, church. You have some people, they see that fine brother. He got good credit. He got a job. He got a car. He don't just have a one-bedroom apartment. He got a 3-4-bedroom apartment. He looks so distinguished. But he ain't saved. But yet, Lord, can you put your approval on him? Because I know if you put your approval on him, I know someday he'll get saved if you put your approval on him. And ladies, you can't be outdone. There's some brothers out there, they see them fine ladies and be like, ooh, man, wow, she look good. She educated. Oh, she got things going for herself. I mean, got everything that I've been looking for in a wife. But she ain't saying. But yet, Lord, put your approval on that. You see that house, and that house looked good too. But you know that you can't afford it. But yet, Lord, put your approval on this loan so that I can get that house. Just come on with me. We have agendas. Even in the church, we doing all kind of this and that and the other, programs after program after program. Put your approval on it, Lord. Ain't asked the Lord not one time what he wanted. That ain't missions minded. That's not. Normally, when your agenda is put before God's, you and others will be affected in a negative way. Why? Because of pride. Look at verses 41 and 42 with me. Now remember, James and John asked Jesus a question. Look at what verse 41 says. 41 says, and when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. And they should be. How y'all go get a spot with Jesus? I want a spot with Jesus. They should. You know what I'm saying? Just to think, I got a sibling. I have a sibling myself. And most of the times when it comes to sitting on the front seat, We go to town. We about ready to fight. Because I want to sit in the front seat. And that would be the problem with James and John. See, both want to sit on the right and left hand of Jesus, but then eventually somebody is going to want to take all the power, all the position, and somebody going to get knocked out. And then there's going to be somebody that's going to take Jesus off the spot so that they can sit in the center and be the head and be the pinnacle and be the center attraction. Because that's what pride will do. You remember the devil. The devil just didn't want to be light. He wanted to be the Most High. And that's what got him kicked out. Because he had an agenda. And it wasn't God's. And you must understand, if you put any agenda above God's, it's going to be sinful, and it will lead to a negative situation. Verse 42 says, so Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. And it's true. You see that today. That's some of the reasons why we get upset at the government, because we feel like the government is lording their authority. You can't tell us what to do. But that's what happens when you put your agenda over God's. You're gonna feel like, oh, I got the power, and look what I can do, what you can't. That was the thing about the Pharisees. The Pharisees, I know the law, you don't. So you need to, you can act like me, but you ain't never gonna be like me. And that shouldn't be even with a Christian today. Just because we know the word of God, we should never lord over somebody. I'm saved more than you. No. No, your faith should lead to someone coming to know the Lord Jesus. Because again, it's not about your agenda, it's about God. So again, if you have an agenda and you have not asked the Lord anything about this agenda, you have not presented it to him, but you sure enough want him to get it passed through for you, I want you to pause and understand that's not the mindset that you should have. And I want the teenagers and kids to understand this. As you continue to grow in your academic thing, I want you to ask the Lord, hey, Lord, help me. I don't know where I'm headed. I need you to show me what to do. And I'm telling you, just as James 1 declares, he says that if you lack wisdom, he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you, but you got to ask him. But if you make any steps, any moves without him leading you, then you're putting your agenda over him. And usually your agenda is going to lead to a mess. You need an example? Remember Jonah? What was God's agenda? Go to Nineveh. What did Jonah do? Jonah said, I'm changing mine. My agenda is I'm going to Tarshish. I'm going to take a cruise. And the time he was out there, the Bible says, a storm just rolled up out of nowhere. Boat rocking and rolling. Everybody just losing their minds. And they should, because it's like, shoot, the ship about to go down. And then it done on Jonah. I'm not doing God's agenda. Now, he didn't say it that like that. But in other words, I'm not doing God's agenda. If you throw me off the ship, everything will be all right. And that's what happened. If you don't follow God's agenda, I'm not saying you're going to be in a big fish, but you can have a big fish experience. I can tell you that. And I don't know if many of you ever had a big fish experience. I pray that you ever don't, if you have not. But it took him having the big fish experience to understand God's agenda. Next point I want to leave with you is being missions-minded will cost you. Being missions-minded will cost you. There's no ifs, no buts. And I think that parents, I think this is the reason why a lot of this generation, a lot of Generation Xers, a lot of Generation Zers, we don't really care to join in this because they hear that. Many of you, baby boomers, solid generation, you understand the cost because you saw mom and them. You saw granddaddy and them. How they went through segregation. How they went through Jim Crow. And the Lord brought them through. Even though they had been chewed out, even though they might have been harassed during the week, they were right there back at church, praising the Lord, praying to him, asking him to help. They understood the cost. And I'm not just blaming the generation, but I'm just saying, like, when they hear that, it's going to cost. Some people don't want to deal with that. But you need to understand this, and most of you understand, that if you're going to take this Christian journey, there will be adversity. There will be persecution, especially if you want to do the missions thing. There will be a challenge ahead of you. Look at verse 38 and 39 with me. Now, remember, James and John had said, well, Lord, if you would, when you're in your kingdom, please allow me and John, James and John, to sit on your right and left hand. And Jesus said this to them in verse 38. You don't know what you're asking. And they didn't. He says this. He says, are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering that I must be baptized with? Understand that there's going to be adversity and persecution if you are missions minded. There's no ifs in this. If you think that the Christian life is a cakewalk, you think that it's Baskin Robbins, it's Golden Corral, I'm sorry. It's going to cost. Now, for many of you, it may not cost you adversity or persecution, but for many of you, it's going to cost you your time, your talents, and your treasures. Yes, that time, guys, when you'd like to spend on the video games, maybe the Lord might be saying, hey, I need you to spend more time in study. That's what the 2-7 does. It helps you to say, I need to prioritize my time to reading and meditating on the scriptures in prayer rather than doing some of the worldly things that are available to me. Not to say that those things you should not do, but it will take your time, your talents, and your treasures. You know, many friendships, many relationships may be cut because you're desiring to be missions minded. And oh, the treasures. Funds might be lost because you are giving yourself over to missions. I think of Dr. Sword. Many of you know him through ABWE and have seen him here at the church. I think of him, a doctor. His services, if it's here in the States at a local hospital, those services will give him mad cash, big time money. But when he's out there doing it for the Lord, cost isn't an issue. Finances is not an issue. But that's the thing that you have to take into consideration. Even now, missionaries have to raise support because it's not a job where you go into and it has a settled income. They have to raise support for that. So it will cost. And understand that people will not like you. They may even hate you because you desire to follow after the Lord. I can share this with you, teenagers. I had many classmates that dogged me out. You know, number one, I told them I was a Christian. I told them I was a Christian. That was the number one thing. But then as I told them I was a Christian, for some apparent reason, they always seem to go to me, well, you're a virgin then, ain't you? And I was like, yeah. And it was like, well, you're a virgin. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm waiting until I get married. You want to know why I'm waiting until I get married? Can I take you to the scripture to show you why? I took them to Hebrews 13, and I showed them. And I'm just saying, I don't know, but it was like, I'm like, hey, really? But that's the stuff. Some people, they don't want to sit around you. Some people, they just can't stand the sight of you, all because you named the name of Christ. And I'm telling you, sometimes that will be the cost. But this is why church was so important. Because even though I didn't have the friends at the public school, I had friends here that I can lean on, that I could pray to, that we can pray for each other, that we can hang out with. And I still have those friendships to this very day because of the fact that I decided to wait on the Lord, and he was the one that gave it. Even when I got married, that's the only thing I asked my wife. One thing I asked my wife is this: let me wear white too. Because I was a virgin. That was the reason. Everything else, you know, if you want a bridezilla, hey, go right ahead. That's all you, girl. That's all you. But that was just one thing. Just let me wear white. That's it. but it will cost you. I just want you to be prepared. I'm not here to tell you what that cost is going to be, but I'm letting you know up front, yes, adversity is going to hit you. But this is what makes the faith so strong. When adversity hits you, understand that that will build, as Dr. Stanley shared many years ago in his 30 Life Principles, adversity is a bridge to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, with God. So understand that it will cost. I want to put it out there because sometimes people think that, hey, if I join this Christian thing, then everything going to be good all the time. No. You need to know that up front. It will cost. Sometimes that cost will be good, but most of the times, and in this case with Jesus, Jesus is letting the brothers know that, hey, if you're going to follow me, it will lead to possibly your death. And for many of the disciples, they would give their lives for the faith. Last point. I told you I'm going to sit down. Last point. Sit on down. God's agenda plus your obedience is missions minded. God's agenda plus your obedience is missions minded. Look at verse number 40. Verse number 40 says this, but I have no right, Jesus says, to say who will sit on my right or my left. God, the Father, has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. Go down to verse 43. But among you, this will be different. What's going to be different? They're not going to use power and position and authority to lord it over people. But what they're going to do is that the power that the Holy Spirit is going to give them, the power that God is going to give them. Look at what God says. He says this. Jesus says this. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. So you see now why I'm saying student, servant. If you're going to be a leader, you got to serve. You got to serve. I'll never forget my manager, my first manager. He was at McDonald's in the Olympic Village, 96 Olympics. Bill, over time, would become one of the main regional managers in McDonald's. But it was all back when I saw him in 96, taking a broom, sweeping alongside me. He was just a manager. It was all because I saw him taking the trays and putting them in the dishwasher and washing them by hand, you know, seen it. How did he become this top leader? It was because he took the time to serve. If you want to be a leader, put service in. Put service in. And verse 44 says, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. Now, I know when you hear this, I know many of you probably thinking back in the 1800s. What he's trying to get here is this. You got to think of yourself less than. Remember what Paul says, don't esteem yourself above others. If you see the need, serve. That's what Jesus was doing. Jesus should have easily, understand this church, understand, Jesus should have not come as a babe. He should have not. No way, no how, no sir. Jesus should have come in glorious splendor on a white horse, showing you who he really was, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He should have had a castle put up in honor of himself. But that's not what he came to do. Came to serve. Because look at verse 45. Verse 45 says this. For even the Son of Man came not to be served. And he should have came out the womb saying, Mama, where the milk at? Daddy, I think we need some steak. No. He came in the form of a babe and did everything that the babies do. Everything that a toddler does, everything that a kid does, everything that a teenager does, everything that an adult does. He came not to serve, and he had full right to do it, but to serve others. And this is how he did it. This is what the Father's agenda was for him to give his life as a ransom for many. That was his service. That was God's agenda. It was to give his life as a ransom for many. Dr. Clay, Victor Clay, he's the pastor of Dynamic Life Baptist Ministries up in Kansas City, Kansas. And he shared this with the students over at Taylor. He took them to the Corinthians, the book of Corinthians, and he shared something that was very interesting that Paul laid out. Paul said, you know what? I could easily come to you and give you high, lofty words. Just put all of my education out there in your face. But this is what I need to give you. I must give you Jesus and him crucified. Why do I give him Jesus? Why do I give you Jesus and him crucified? Because that was his service. That was the Father's agenda. He wanted our sins to be atoned, and the only way that they could be atoned was through the death of a perfect sacrifice. And that perfect sacrifice happened to come in the form of the God-man. His name is Jesus Christ. I would easily have put a Christ connections in here just to take us back to the Gospel Project, but you see the Christ connection right there. If Christ served, what's holding you back? If Christ was obedient even unto the death on the cross, then why don't you follow God's agenda and see what happens? God's agenda plus your obedience, that's missions minded. Dr. Stanley shared this as one of his life principles: obey God and leave all the consequences to him. His grandfather told him that, hey, if God tells you to run through a brick wall, you do it. Why? Because if he told you to do it, either two things are going to happen. He's going to give you the power to knock that wall down. He may even knock that wall down before, ahead of you, or he's going to give you a hole that you can squeeze through. But you got to obey God. You must obey God. And this is not something teenagers said I'm sharing with you. This is for the whole church. You must obey God. And since Jesus' service was his sacrifice, then guess what your service is, which leads to missions? It's evangelism. Turn your Bible right quick to Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19, turn with me. So you'll see that it's in the Bible. I ain't make it up. Matthew 28:19, many of you know it. Matthew 28:19. And if you got it, say yes, sir. All right. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Go with me to Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Basically, the Lord laid this on my heart during the time of my study. Four things. God wants you to go. He wants you to go. Ain't nothing hard about that. I mean, you can't stay in your seat. You got to get off your behind. You got to do some steps. You got to go. If you don't know where to go, let me help you out. Next slide. First thing you need to do, go across the hall. What I mean by this is, do you have a sibling that doesn't know Jesus? If you have a sibling, I can testify. There have been parents that did not know Jesus, and the children did. Some of you can testify the same thing. There were kids in the house that were saved, and the parents weren't. Kids, I'm telling you, this is why you're there, to go across the hall, share the gospel. And then once you get across the hall, then you know you got mom and them who you love, mom and them who you love, mom and them who you love. Mom and them, be so kind, mom and them, spank up behind, mom and them. Tell mom and them about it. Tell your cousins, your grandmama, all them. Because if you love them, you share Jesus with them. Go across the hall. Next slide. Go across the street. You got neighbors. They need Jesus. Take some time. Go across the hall. Go across the street. And share with your neighbors. And then if you've done talking to all your neighbors, then you know the next subdivision. Next subdivision. We know where we're going. Go across the street. This is when you can talk to your classmates. You know, teachers. Again, there's unsaved teachers. They need Jesus. And guess what? God got you there so they can see Jesus. See, you thought you was just there to get a name. No, you're there to show Jesus off. Go across the street. Next slide. Go across the country. Go across the country. If you feel like you've reached everyone in the state, which you know how big this state is, ain't no way. And Lord Jesus, if it's California, but if it's Georgia, if you feel like you done reached out all the way to Georgia, hey, go to Alabama. Go to Mississippi. Go all over the country. Don't stop. But you see where I'm going with this? Jesus said the statement, the harvest is wide open. It's plenteous, ain't it? But the laborers, they're few. We need to pray to the Lord that he'll send more laborers. Y'all thought that was just Pastor Ray's job. Y'all thought that was the deacon's job, trustee's job, the Sunday school teacher's job, the children's church. Nah. Your job. My job. Because we're all a part of the body of Christ. Next slide. And then we're going to take it across the oceans. We're going to take this thing international. And that's why we're grateful for Ismael. We're grateful for Reverend Daniel. We're grateful for Pastor Thomas. We're grateful for Pastor Jock. We're grateful for so many that are going to take this message across the world. Even though they're doing it, some of them in their homeland are to refugees from their homeland. They're doing it because they want the gospel to go across the oceans, and we should desire to do the same. And I know sometimes when you hear about across the oceans, many of you think of jungles, the deep, dark forests of the Amazon. But sometimes it's just as urban as over here in Atlanta. They need the gospel. And you have an opportunity to share. Do you know that there are some people over in other countries coming here to give the gospel? Because, again, the gospel goes to everybody. Even with a church almost on every corner in some states, the gospel still needs to go to every person. So you need to go. You need to preach. Hit the next one. You need to preach. One of the main reasons why the Lord called me is that so that this message could go out. And what am I preaching? Toby? No, I'm not. I'm preaching Jesus and him crucified. My hope and prayer has been every time I've been up here that you've heard something about Jesus. And I can't say that I don't have an excuse, because I had a guy that came before me that said, hey, you need to know about the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. Then I had another pastor that came by, hey, brother, don't forget to tell people that Jesus is coming again. That's what you preach. You ain't got to change that. If you got, there are methods that you can use. But the message, that's the message. It's Jesus. Hello. That's why the message goes out to the world. Because Jesus is, God is global. He wants the message to go to the world. Go into all the world and give this message to people. We got to preach it. Now, you know, I could easily, now just like Pastor McNeil said, I easily could do it. I easily could hoop up in here and say, beans and rice, and beans and rice, and beans and rice, and beans and rice, and beans and rice. I could easily do that. But you heard me. I said, I got to do it with substance. Now, if I give it, and I'll give it to you with substance, and in some circles, I will be able to do that. But I may not tell you, because you might laugh at me. But there are some circles, like my grandmother's circles, I don't mind hooping, but I'm going to hoop with substance. But the main thing that I'm doing is preaching the gospel. I'm preaching the message. I'll never forget that when Pastor did that. That was so funny. What am I preaching about? Beans and rice. And in some passages, it's true. I remember I was at one church with my grandmama, and the guy got up, and he was like, and Samson. I'm like, okay, what else, bro? What else we got? I'm like, man, all I'm hearing is Samson. I ain't hear nothing left. Amen. But then there's some brothers be like, they be like, hey, and Jesus died, and Friday night he was in the grave all night. Friday he was in the grave all night Saturday, but early Sunday morning he got up with all power in his hands, because he's Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Do you see what I'm saying? That's substance. Substance. It's the gospel. I'm not ashamed of that. And you shouldn't be ashamed of that either. Preach. Because you got a pulpit too. This just not here. It's just not here. Kids, you got to understand this. One of the things that really set me ablaze was when I founded the Constitution, that I had the right as a student at a public school to pray openly. Had the right as a student to be able to wear Christian wear. I had the right as a student to bring my Bible and read it. I was like Martin Luther, putting up theses on the wall all over the place. Like, you had that right too. This is at a public school. Now, Christian schools, come on now. If you had a Christian school and don't want to preach, you don't want to share the gospel, something wrong with you. You had a Christian school. Come on now. But at a public school, one of the largest mission fields still in America, public school. And that's why I'm like, man, we got to get there. We got to get there. Next slide. Got to teach. Teaching. That's why we're thankful for the Strozers, we're thankful for the Porters, we're thankful for so many. Brother Edwards, we're thankful for so many. Brother Edison, we're thankful for so many that take the time to teach. Thankful for Miss Vicky, who helps me with teaching the teens. You have to teach, because the only way you're going to learn is you have to be taught. And a lot of people don't have that proper teaching, and that's why I'm grateful for having pastors like Dr. McNeil, Dr. Stanley, Dr. Evans, that are taking the time to teach the Word of God, so that, again, you can be able to learn it. You have to, the only way you're going to learn is you got to be taught. So there does need to be people that needs to teach. You hear me? There's people that needs to teach. And the reason why we're teaching is because, next slide, is because we're training. As I share with the kids, we've seen it in real time. You see, Pastor McNeil now has passed the torch on to Pastor Ray. And eventually, Pastor Ray, he's throwing hints out there that the torch is going to be passed again. And as you get older, the torch is going to be trained. So you got to understand this. Many years ago, I was just like you. I was sitting in that pew, wondering, should I listen to this sermon? Wondering what my meal is going to be next. And the whole time, God is just getting you reared up. You don't understand. You're 17, you're 18, you're 19. Next thing you know, you're going to be by yourself. And I don't mean by yourself, but you're going to be by yourself. And now a decision is going to come up on you. Should I do this because the Lord said I should do it? Or should I do this because it just feels good? And that girl look good. And that boy look good. And it's going to be all right. Nobody knows. You know what I'm saying? I could take that drink. It's, nobody knows. No, but the Lord knows. But if you're trained, you'll understand what the scripture says, and you'll be able to make the right decision because it's the right thing to do, because God said, hey, do that. And kids, I gotta talk to your parents and your grandparents right quick. Grandmama, granddaddy, mom, daddy, the way that these kids are gonna learn, not only by our physical teaching training, mouth training, but it's also gonna be by our practices, by us living it out, by us working it out. A lot of what the kids are dealing with now is because they saw what was wrong. They were told to do X, Y, Z, but they weren't shown X, Y, Z. They were shown something else. And then the parents are like, why are they doing this right here? Because you over there doing this right now. One thing is for sure, I stress this with my kids, they will never hear the N-word come out of my mouth because that's not their name. And if that's not their name, I don't want them using that because I ain't using it. When it came cussing, if it's cussing in the Monday household, it ain't going to come out my mouth. Because I had a daddy and mama told me, hey, what you doing? I ain't saying no cuss word in front of you. You know what I'm saying? One of the main reasons why I've been faithful to a job for over 15 years is because I saw a mother and a father that were faithful to their jobs. They proved it. They didn't cut any corners. One of the main reasons why I'm still here faithfully and serving here at Atlanta Bible Baptist Church is because I saw stuff practiced in front of me that was real, that was tangible. You just didn't say that you love Jesus. You proved and showed that you love Jesus. And my hope and prayer, teenagers, is that you'll see that from me, that you'll see that from Miss Vicky, that you'll see that from the parents and the other elders here at this church, that you'll see living evidence that you get the proper training because you're seeing it live out. Number one, you're seeing it lived out because of what the Word shows you. Jesus lived it out. But you're seeing it lived out through us. Yes, are we not perfect? No. Will we make mistakes? Yes. But you'll see us get on our knees and ask the Lord to help us. That's the reason why I'm standing here today, is because I saw a man who took the time out to get on his knees and to pray for his family. Even in times where he didn't see it, I saw him. And because he took the time to pray, do you see the fruits of it? Do you see the fruits of his prayer? Not only his prayer, but his mother's prayer, and probably even his mother's mother's prayer, even my own mother's prayer, and my own mother's mother's prayer. Why? Because of the fact that if they trained me, and I saw it, I'm going to do it. One of the main reasons why I'm a Falcons fan to this day is because I saw a Falcons fan. I'm just keeping it real with you. And then when he wanted to take you to the game and you ain't got to pay nothing, I'll be a Falcons fan. Most definitely, yeah. Hawks fan, Braves fan, because I was trained. But I was also trained as a believer. Some people say, hey, I was drugged to church, but I can literally tell you that I had people that in my life that was like, hey, I know that you may not be a believer, but this is why I am. And I'm not going to do this. No. Live it. I'm hook crook. Then I'm telling you, a life is going to be changed. A life is going to be changed. Two brothers in this room, I was a kid, and man, seeing them, they make one to live for Jesus. Cool, because I saw them. I'm like, man, these brothers, they cool. They love the Lord. They acting crazy. You know, and not only them, but others in my life. But again, it all started with people living it out. Living it out. Because eventually, and I'm not going to cry out, but eventually, many of you are going to be husbands. Many of you are going to be wives. You need to see that lived out. Many of you will be parents. You got to see it lived out. And I and Miss Vicky, we're not going to be youth leaders all the time. And there'll be other positions at the church. We need that. So that's why you need the training. And I'm asking you now to go ahead. If you haven't taken the spiritual gifts test, go ahead and do that so then you'll know where you need to be so then you get the proper training and then you can be able to get that information, get the resources, and then you will recycle and train. Again, that's the whole point. That's it. You need to go. You need to preach, you need to teach, and train. Where are you going? You're going across the hall, across the street, across the country, and across the seas, across the oceans. So you can't say, well, Toby ain't got nothing to do for Jesus. Yes, you do. Have you gone across the hall? Are you a preacher? Are you a teacher? Are you training somebody? Hello? If you're not doing these things, then I got a question to ask you. Last slide. Are you missions minded? Because if these things aren't being accomplished in your life, then somebody's agenda is ahead of God's. Don't let your agenda be ahead of his. Because I'm telling you right now, you're going to look for his approval and he's going to tell you no. Even when you think you got a yes, it's going to be a no. But your obedience to his agenda, that's Mr. Smiley. And if you don't know, just remember, the assignment is service. And that service is through evangelism. And you see that evangelism stretches a long way. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we're telling you this is why he came. He didn't want to be served. He came to serve because he knew that if you died in your sin, you will be lost and thrown into a place called hell and then taken out to be judged and tossed into a lake of fire, which is the second death. That's why he gave his life up as a ransom for many, so he can shed his blood and atone your sins, so that if you believe with your mouth and confess that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Don't wait. Tomorrow's not promised. And for those of you that you try to put your agenda above God's these last few months, years, whatever, let's change that around and make God's agenda our priority and make our obedience what we want to do to please God. Let's pray. Father, how we love you and we thank you for your wonderful gift. Lord, I thank you for our people. As we began to go into small groups and discipleship classes, Lord, even as we go out to soul win, Lord, where we maybe have this intent to be missions minded. Because it's not about us. It's all about you. And Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, we're praying today that they will come to know you as Savior. And if there is someone here that they put their agenda above yours, Lord, we pray they would totally commit their lives today and to commit their lives to obedience to your agenda. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.